This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
For Baldry's Beat, Keith Baldry, Legislative Bureau Chief for Global News.
Happy Friday. Glad to be back after missing one day. I couldn't be on yesterday because I was literally on a Harbor Air flight from Vancouver. There you go.
Our sponsor will be very happy to hear that.
Yes.
Yes, good. Well, welcome back. So let's talk about Premier John Horgan reaching the end of his tenure here. We'll have a new leader of the NDP at some point, a new premier. So we're getting close.
Maybe. We'll get to that.
We'll get into that in a second. This is getting really interesting. But brand new opinion poll out on Horgan shows his approval ratings are up since he took a dip. He took a dip during the Royal BC Museum debacle.
The museum debacle.
Yeah,
caused him to tumble a bit, but he's back up. Third most highest approval rating in the country. Scott Moe of Saskatchewan. The Maritimes don't really count when it comes to this type of thing, but. It's interesting, you know, we've talked about this before. Horgan's legacy is going to be his endearing popularity. He runs ahead of his party.
Yeah.
The NDP is nowhere near as high in the opinion polls as their leader is. Yeah. One of the Angus Reid polls a while ago asked people what the top issues were. Housing, top issue. Well, how do you rank the government? Terrible on housing. How do you rank the premier? Great. You know, so if a premier can pull off something like that, where the top issue... for people where your government gets a failing grade, but you get an A in popularity is quite a feat.
Horgan has, I think, exceeded a lot of expectations. There was at one point when he got the job, no one else really wanted it. He almost became premier by default.
Yeah. No, there was no leadership race. Yeah. It was just he became leader. He ran for leader against Adrian Dix and lost.
Right.
But then Dix lost the 2013 election. Horgan became leader. In opposition, he seemed to be frustrated. I've known John Horgan since the 1990s as a staff member.
Right.
He was frustrated. He was fairly negative, as is the lot of being in opposition. You're always faulting the government for something. You don't have much positive to say. He seemed to be frustrated and angry. Then he comes into the 2017 election campaign, and I knew we were dealing with a different John Horgan in 2017. I was at an event early in the campaign. We're at some river along the Fraser River, I believe, at some event. He's announcing something, and he started to be heckled by someone in the crowd. And I thought, oh, God, here we go. You know, he's going to lose it on this.
He's going to blow. Mount Horgan's going to erupt here.
And that didn't happen. Quite the opposite,
right,
where he actually became friends with the heckler and softened his approach. And he took that approach right into government in 2017 and has held it ever since. And that's why he comes off so well with the public. I see him around the legislature all the time, just intermingling with complete strangers. Again, just a sort of a common, grounded guy. Unlike any other premier, I mean, part of the reason, he's actually told me this, that one of the reasons he feels so comfortable around here, he lives here. He goes home and sleeps in his own bed every night.
Yeah,
no other premier has been able to say that for decades.
He's also a guy, I think, who's developed some really good political instincts that I think have served him well in terms of where he's positioning himself on issues. Like, you know, we were talking off air here about some of the environmental road blockades, old growth logging, Site C dam, LNG development. He's got a big active environmental wing of his party, but he's steered them
away
to the middle
that.
On it. You know, he's on the side of the
He's going where the public's at, not where the activists at. I remember talking to him, interviewing him in his office just after they approved the continuation of the Site C dam, which they opposed in opposition.
Right.
Which a number of their MLAs paddled for the peace. And then the pivotal moment early on in their tenure, in their mandate, was to approve this. And he said, well, you know what? We're not going to govern with our activist roots. We're going to be a government for the majority of people, not for activists.
He was also smart enough to cancel that museum project.
Yep.
That was going to bring him down.
Oh, that terrible idea.
He knew he had to drop it.
Yeah. And he even jokes about it today. Yeah. What a bad move that was. Yeah. And they've dropped it, which is, you know, a sign of smart governing is admit your mistakes and move on.
I think there's also a lot of public sympathy and they're impressed with him the way he's
his
very,
health.
Very bravely gone through this cancer, these cancer treatments. And I think people look at that and say, I like it. It's dignified. It's courageous.
Yep. He's hit all the right buttons on this, which is, again, I've never seen a premier. He's been premier for 5 years now. To still be over 50% of popularity, that's unheard of.
So this is why the Liberals are happy he's going.
Yeah.
Right? They'd rather go against Eby.
Oh, for sure.
Sure.
I mean, I'm not slagging David Eby here, but he's not John Horgan. I mean, David Eby's a bit of a policy geek. He's not outgoing. He's a bit shy. He doesn't have that image that Horgan does. And it's going to be interesting with how the NDP fares with that.
Okay, we'll get into the NDP leadership here in a minute.
Oh, we will.
Let's talk a little federal politics. It was interesting day yesterday in the House of Commons. Pierre Poilievre, the new conservative leader, it was his first one-on-one with Trudeau here, going at it in question period. So let's have a listen to some of the exchanges here in the House of Commons. Poilievre versus Trudeau. Have a listen.
If Canadians had followed the advice of the leader of the opposition and invested in volatile cryptocurrencies in attempt to, quote, opt out of inflation, they would have lost half of their savings. Mr. Speaker, responsible leadership means stepping up for Canadians and being there to support them. Will the Conservative leader support our measures to support Canadians?
Okay, and the Poilievre, the part of it I was hoping we'd have there, we didn't have, but Poilievre going after Trudeau there on taxes.
Yep.
Very laser focused on taxes, cost of living.
So Poilievre raised issues, bread and butter issues of taxes. Trudeau responded with, you know, his talk about Bitcoin. Well, he hasn't talked about Bitcoin for a few months now. That issue is going to go away.
Yeah.
I don't think the Liberals can dine out on that much longer. They've got to be in the here and now. Most interesting story out today is on the front page of the Globe and Mail, an interview with Brian Mulroney, the former prime minister, who had dinner with Poilievre and his wife. Mulroney and his wife, Mila, met with Poilievre and his wife at Stornoway, the official opposition party residence. And then Mulroney gave an interview to the Globe and Mail. This seems to be all very calculated. And saying the advice he gave to Pierre Poilievre, move to the center, you'll win the next election. If Poilievre accepts that advice, and the fact he had Mulroney over for dinner suggests that he probably may, makes him even a bigger threat to Justin Trudeau.
Yeah, and there's also reports that Poilievre is trying to heal over some of the divisions from this very rough and tumble leadership contest, reaching out to people like Jean Charest, for example. So, you know, this is another example of a guy like Poilievre who ran for this party leadership, appealing to some of the kind of the right of the party to win the job. But then does he move to the center? Focus on the bread and butter economic issues. That's the path to power here. Like, that was a really interesting interview with Mulroney gave to the Globe and Mail, where he told Poilievre, you have to fish where the fish are.
So
you've got to go where the voters are. You've got to move.
Yep.
And but, you know, past conservative leaders tried that. I mean,
Aaron O'Toole tried it. He didn't seem to have a grand plan. It seemed to be made up on the fly through an election campaign.
Yeah.
Where he was responding to the Liberals and taking the bait on certain issues, whether it was the gun registry, whether it was a number of other issues. If Poilievre puts together a strategic plan and puts in front of the voters that it emphasizes bread and butter economic issues,
right?
Not talk about guns, you know, don't talk about abortion, don't talk about social conservative issues, talk about the meat and potatoes issues of the economy, of inflation, of the cost of living, housing, this type of thing. That's going to cut through the Liberal attacks, which are surely going to come on the other issues. I mean, Trudeau loves to create wedge issues and push the Conservatives to react to them. And he was successful doing that with Andrew Scheer and O'Toole. I think Poilievre's a different breed here.
Okay, it's going to be fascinating to watch. Okay, back to BC here. Now, the NDP leadership contest underway. This has gotten very interesting. It looked like it was going to be a walk in the park here for David Eby, slam dunk. Then along comes Anjaliya Padurai, this environmental activist, to challenge him. Mm-hmm. At first, we thought, well, she's got no hope. Well, now there's a lot of speculation. She signed up a ton of people in the environmental movement.
Yep.
And is she potentially a threat here to upset the apple cart and defeat Eby?
I talked to a number of, over the last few days, talked to a number of cabinet ministers and MLAs who basically seem to indicate to me what the party's going to zero in on is the people she signed up as members. There's a whole bunch in South Vancouver Island, Ferry Creek protesters, those 1,200 people arrested. Their names are all part of the public record.
There's the people who were blocking the logging roads there.
They
all signed up for her, or a lot of them
a
did?
A whole bunch of them did. A whole bunch of the Green Party members in South Vancouver Island have joined. You've had a guest on from one of the blockaders of some of the roads.
Well, yeah. Earlier this week, I spoke to the guy who's the head of Save Old Growth. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the group that's blocking roads and bridges and highways. And I played that clip for him of Horgan saying, if you want to affect changes on this, why don't you try running, put your name on a ballot and see how far you get. So I played that clip for him. And he said, well, we do have her name on the ballot. Her name is Anjaliya Padurai. And I said, well, oh, wait a sec. Have you joined the NDP to vote for her? He said, yes, I have.
Yeah, so I think
this is a radical environmental group.
I think a lot of those memberships, again, based on my conversations with caucus members, the party's going to rule they're disqualified.
They'll disqualify her now.
They bring the party into disrepute with their basically actions.
So what are they doing? They're examining all the people she signed up and cross-referencing with all the names of the cops, cops arrested?
Among other things, yeah, and Green Party members as well. So my understanding is there's a lot of lawyers very active right now in the NDP scrutinizing these memberships. So she's got a couple hurdles to cross here. She's not an official candidate. Only David Eby is an official candidate. And she, as she said on your show, she is not an official candidate. She has to get through the vetting process. That's one hurdle.
They're going to disqualify her.
Well, they may disqualify her, or they just may disqualify all the people she signed up.
They may throw out all her members.
And that's does an end run around disqualifying
her. There have been complaints.
Very interesting.
Yeah, there's been complaints about her campaign process, whether she has broken election laws in British Columbia. Here is John Horgan on that. Speaking of Horgan, he was asked about the NDP leadership, the controversy around this candidate challenging Eby. Here's what Horgan said about it.
I'm concerned, seriously concerned about the integrity of the process, but I know I've been a member of the NDP since 1983. I know we think very hard about these issues and we put in place processes to protect the integrity of the system.
They're going to disqualify her.
The integrity of the system doesn't allow for lawbreakers to take over the party.
Yeah.
And one cabinet minister said yesterday, he said, we're not going to allow environmental groups funded by American interest to take over this government or this party. The other thing people have to realize, even if she wins the leadership, and I don't think that's going to happen, even if she does, she doesn't become premier. People forget the caucus determines who the premier is. If the caucus doesn't support the leader can't be the premier. The lieutenant governor will only meet with the first minister, which right now
so
is John Horgan.
So even if she becomes the leader of the party, the NDP caucus would turn against her.
John Horgan will still be the premier.
Right.
And he was the one to meet with the lieutenant governor.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture, and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
It's Baldry's Beat. Keith Baldry is my guest. Let's go right to your phone calls here. Terry in New West. Hey, Terry, go ahead.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Good, good.
Pierre Poilievre so far reminds me of Preston Manning. Preston Manning, when he was in politics, said if he was elected opposition leader, he would not move into Stornoway, and then he broke his promise and moved into Stornoway. Mm-hmm. Deborah Gray, a reform MP, said she wouldn't take the increase in pension, and she did. So I'm sick and tired of these right-wing politicians talking out of both sides of their mouths and saying, I'm going to save the taxpayers money. And what do? They don't stay in free enterprise business. They become politicians and take money off the taxpayer as well. So they're nothing but a bunch of hypocrites.
Okay, thanks for that.
Poilievre
did not say, I'm not going to move into Stornoway. I never heard him say that.
No, but I get the caller's point about he talked about criticizing the elites and the taxpayer subsidies of things. And then he takes the ultimate taxpayer subsidy of your house. So it does. He never explicitly said, I'm not moving into Stornoway, but he gave the impression, I'm not going to be like everyone else. I'm not going to be part of the elites. I'm not going to be one of the so-called gatekeepers. Yeah. That was all his leadership shtick. And the caller's right, though. I mean, politicians say one thing and do another thing, and they get criticized for it, rightfully so. And this Stornoway thing will be thrown back at Poilievre, you can be sure.
But he was smart enough not to go there. He was smart enough not to say, I will refuse to move in there.
You're not going to find a clip of Poilievre saying, I'm not going to move into Stornoway.
Right, exactly. He saw it coming, probably. That's why.
Well, I think, again, his whole thing about not being part of the establishment, that's going to fade over time. If you're the opposition leader, you are part of the establishment.
He's the establishment. Yeah. Doug in Nanaimo, hi.
How are you guys?
Good, go ahead.
Geez, I got a little problem with how you treat Poilievre supporters as what you're calling now right-wing extremists, whereas before they were racist, white supremacists. I know you get your talking points from PMO directly.
Oh, really? Wasn't aware of that.
What evidence do you have that we all are extremists, white supremacists?
I've never ever said that. I said he associates himself or refuses to disassociate himself with right-wing extremists. He's met with these two extremists, James McKenzie and the other fellow, and just refuses to disassociate himself.
Well, what he said was, okay, there was a picture of him shaking hands with some extremist guy, and he goes, look, you know, I show up at these public events, I shake like a thousand people's hands, okay? Someone takes
ridiculous.
A photo, I don't know who these people
are. He knew who this guy was. Yeah? Yeah, there's no question. But again, for the purposes of winning the leadership, he was willing to look the other way. On this stuff, but he's
well on the trucker convoy. He supported the truckers, all right, and you know because he knew that he was going to sign up a ton of people to the Conservative Party and win the leadership.
He tried to have it both ways on this, but now we're seeing, as we predicted, as he moves in to become the official opposition leader, the messaging is different. He's different in the House of Commons. I mean, the clip you played is he's talking about inflation and the economy. He's not talking about the trucker convoy.
Squeeze in one more. Louise in Surrey. Louise, you got 30 seconds here.
Hi, good morning. I just wanted to tell you about my experiences with Mr. Horgan. He wasn't like this lovely, nice guy to me. I have a child with autism, and so I spoke to him maybe 2-3 times about it. Was blown off every time. I'm looking towards Mr. Eby now and thinking he's got a wonderful opportunity in front of him to change this dismantling of individualized funding for autism and also help all people in the province who have children with disabilities, as well as Indigenous families who are about to be herded into this system.
Thank you, Louise. 10 seconds.
Yeah, well, the change in the autism model has never really been explained, I think, by the NDP government. I'm not sure what the motivation was, and we'll see if there's a potential that could change under an EB leadership.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.